So he asked that we talk about Eretz Yisrael, because we just had Yom HaAtzmaut, and talk about building off of that. So we are standing during Sfiras HaOmer, and the purpose of Sfiras HaOmer is to prepare ourselves for Shavuos, and the concept of preparing in life is often related to specific events, right? I'm preparing for a chasen, I'm preparing for a meeting. We prepare for certain things, holidays or occasions, we're preparing for Pesach, we're preparing for Shavuos. But there's another type of preparation, and that is to prepare for something that you hope will happen, but you're not sure when. There's such a type of a preparation of something that you're not sure when it's going to happen, and you don't know when it's going to occur, but you very much want it to happen. And we want to talk about is that type of preparation today. The idea that we should be preparing at all times to be in Eretz Yisrael, where we're supposed to be. And what does a person do? How does a person think when, for whatever reason, they cannot be in Eretz Yisrael? And being in Eretz Yisrael perhaps is not on their plan at this moment, but they'd like it to be. And how does a person prepare and have a machshav and a thought about being in the land of Israel, in the state of Israel, when perhaps it's not applicable or it's not feasible at that moment? So David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, Tzom alecha nafshi, kam alecha besari, it's in Tehillim, Parak Samach Gimel, that my soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you. So Rashi, on that pasuk, writes something very strange. He says, what does the word kam mean? Right? We know Tzom alecha nafshi, my soul thirsts, we know what that means. But then it says, kam alecha besari. So what does kam mean? So Rashi says, kam alecha besari, lashon taiva. It's a lashon of desire. When David HaMelech says, kam alecha besari, that my flesh is kam, it means he's a lashon taiva. And then Rashi writes three words. Rashi says, ve'ein lo dimyon. Literally, what he means is, ve'ein lo dimyon means that there's no similar expression in Tanakh to the word kama. He says, you don't find it anywhere else. There's no comparative word. There's no similar concept in Tanakh of the word kama meaning desire. That's the Pashup Shah in this Rashi. Okay? So the Baal Shem Tov was quoted in the Sefer Keser Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov said as follows. He says, look at the Rashi again. He says, kama lecha besari, it's a lashon of taiva. Kama is a lashon of desire. Ve'ein lo dimyon. But there's no dimyon. He says, ve'ein lo dimyon. So the Baal Shem Tov says, ve'ein lo dimyon doesn't mean that only there's no comparative word in Tanakh. It means taiva ve'ein lo dimyon, a desire that has no comparison. That the word kama means that a person is so desirous of something that there's no words to express it. That's what it means. That there's something that's so much more spiritual, it's stronger, it's without comparison to something that's only gashmi. And as a believing Jew, we know that we should be in Eretz Yisrael. We should be living there, and for different reasons, some valid reasons, some not valid reasons. So we're unable to be there, and we're not living in the palace of the king. But that doesn't mean that we can't prepare to be there for the time that we're going to be in Eretz Yisrael. That we can't have that sense of kama, that sense of desire, as the Baal Shem Tov says, she'ein lo dimyon, that there's nothing comparable to that desire to be in Eretz Yisrael, to be al admas HaKodesh. We just want to open with a beautiful statement from Rav Elazar Azkari. Rav Elazar Azkari lived in the 1500s, died in 1600, and he was born in Sfas. His family was kicked out of Spain. He was born in Sfas, and he grew up in Sfas. And you know him better as the author of Yedid Nefesh that we sing in shul on Friday night. And he was in Sfas at the same time as Rav Moshe Cordovero and the Arizal and the Rav Beis Yosef, that amazing period in Jewish history where all those amazing Gedolim lived and interacted at the same time together with Shlomo Alkabitz, the author of Lecha Dodi, all at the same time. So he wrote Yedid Nefesh. He also wrote a commentary on the Talmud Yerushalmi. So he has a Sefer that he's most famous for called the Sefer Charedim. And the Sefer Charedim in Perek Nuntes, I just want to read to you his incredibly beautiful words. He says, "V'tzarach kol ish Yisrael l'chabev es Eretz Yisrael." Every Jew has to love the land of Israel. "V'lavo aleha me'afse aretz b'teshuka gadol," and to come from all over the world with a great desire, "kaven el cheko imo," like a son that returns to the embrace of his mother. That's how a person should view going back to Eretz Yisrael. "Ki techilas avonenu shenikba lanu b'chil l'doros," because we sinned, and unfortunately we were kicked out of it. Because we did not appreciate, we hated this beautiful land. Ki ratzo avadecha savanehu. We have to love the land, he says. Umatov manayim lashir shir yedidus. You should sing songs of love. Asher yisad Rabbi Yehuda Alevi. The songs written by Rabbi Yehuda Alevi in the Kuzari. Aleh be'av rabo. Techila sashira. Eretz HaKadosh Yikar HaChamud. And to talk and to speak about one's love of the land of Israel and important things as well. So he says, "Gam hakrovim va'rachokim eshechutzala roila shiyu nechsafim v'tevim ba." And even those people who are far away, for whatever reason, we can't be in Eretz Yisrael. You should be nechsafin. You should be desired. You should be overcome with a love. Ki kashem shebachar b'hem kach bachar v'Eretz Yisrael v'yachedosa. Just like Hashem chose us, He chose the land of Israel. Ve'nikra'in gayachad el amcha shekach. We're only a guy. We're only a nation when we're in Eretz Yisrael. And he quotes Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai as well, saying the same thing. Umatzina b'medrash. We find a remarkable medrash. Amar la'avram avinu pam rishon shelech Eretz Yisrael. Hashem told Avram the first time to go to Eretz Yisrael. V'yirena v'yachsaracher, go and go into Ulim, up, down, all around Eretz Yisrael. Lo nasan l'rishus l'achsar l'achas Eretz Yisrael. Ad chameshanim, but he kicked him out of Eretz Yisrael for 5 years. For 5 years, Avram couldn't go back in. V'osan chameshanim haya mishtokech l'achsar l'achas. Avram Avinu wanted nothing more for those 5 years than to go into Eretz Yisrael. And at the end, when Hashem saw that he had this desire, v'lolalun v'paltrio shel chutz la'aretz, that he did not want to live there anymore, so Hashem said, v'yelech Avram kashiri b'yelav, v'kodem bo la'aretz lo hayim mishtokech aval achar sheba shema, only after he was there, and Avram desired to be in the kedushas aretz, then did Hashem say, okay, you can come back in. So Avram was there, says Rav Azkari, says the Sefer Charedim, Hashem kicked him out, and the only once he had the desire to go back and that strong desire to be there, did Hashem then bring him back in at the end of the day. And this powerful view of the Sefer Charedim is found in a most beautiful piece from the Rebbe of Radomsk, or Shlomo of Radomsk, in the Tefer Shlomo, in the end of Parshas Maaseh. Listen to this. He says, "He neid sarach kol ish lishtokek b'chol levavo al Eretz Yisrael." Every person must desire with all of their heart for the land of Israel. Ukedushas anatolinus, k'mo shenamar, shalu shalom Yerushalayim. You must inquire of the well-being of Yerushalayim. You should always be asking, what's going on in Israel? How can I get there? What can I do to be there? Tzion hidoresh ein la michlal debay drisha. The Navi Yirmiyahu says that Tzion has no one asking for her. Therefore, implying that, we have to be inquiring of Tzion. We have to want to know what's going on with Eretz Yisrael. Ve'inyan hatashuka, this desire, haratzon hagadol, kol kachi ma'ulas v'atzma. It is so incredible on its own. Alagula hasida b'mehera b'yamenu, for the coming of the Mashiach. Dahainu kishi yasim adam alibo divrei hakasuv shalotisov nachla mimata lamata. And he brings us the idea that Shevet Menashe, which Benos Tzalafchad came from, were annoyed. Because what if the daughters of Tzalafchad get married, and they marry a man from another Shevet, and what's going to happen to their portion, right? They're going to be pieces of Menashe. They're going to go to another Shevet because Benos Tzalafchad are going to marry out. The husband's going to take the Nachala from Shevet Menashe, and they're going to be portions, scattered portions of Shevet Menashe. They're going to belong to other Shvatim. And Menashe was so sad. We're going to lose out on a little piece of Eretz Yisrael. What's going to be with our chelek in Eretz Yisrael? So Hashem said, no, we're going to give it back to you. Don't worry, it's going to stay in your nachal. It's not a problem. So says the Tefer Shlomo, because Shevet Menashe desired Eretz Yisrael so much, so Hashem said, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you this piece of land for you. He says, Hakpeda HaTorah Shalot Tisov Nachla, Shalot Tavor Nachla Mimatz Lamat. Hashem says that one portion of Eretz Yisrael should not go to another portion. Bizman Hazeh, in our day, Shavonoseinu HaRabim Kol Eretz Kedusha Hiltachas Yedei Hashmeilim. When there are, he says, in his days, the whole land was under the Arabs. But even nowadays, when there are portions of the land under the Arabs, Mikol Shekin Shetzarech Likro Levav, our heart should tear. Ish Letzoak El Hashem, to cry out to Hashem. La'orah Rachamim Al Haaretz V'al Kibbutz, Kibbutz Gal, that Hashem should have rachamim to bring us Eretz Yisrael v'mehera v'yamenu. V'alkenim tigaber hatashuka b'leiv ish Yisrael. And if you increase your desire to be in Eretz Yisrael, ha'aretz u'binyan beis hamikdash, halo chish maher ya'ater lahem, Hashem will bring it quicker to you. Ki alohu banoi v'omid l'mal rak shetzarech l'vakesh elav l'arido. It's there, the beis hamikdash is there, built in Shemayim. You just have to ask for it, and Hashem will bring it down. Ki adorahu asher yitznu aynem levavim l'shol hazeh, because then a generation that asks and desires for Eretz Yisrael, behem yidavu al churban haaretz Yerushalayim, and they are upset over the churban of the land in Yerushalayim, va'yedei teshukasam v'davon avsham al ha'aretz, and their desire for the land, hine yus'oru ha'gula, it will awaken the gula, v'im ha'yudor ha'achron kodem ha'gula, and that will be the last generation before the gula. The longer you desire to be in Eretz Yisrael, and the more you desire to be in Eretz Yisrael, the more Hashem will make that a reality. And we see as well that Rav Kook unfortunately was out of Eretz Yisrael for a number of years when he had to travel to the Knesset Gedola, to the convention of Agudas Yisrael in Europe. While he was there, so World War I broke out, and Rav Kook was trapped in Switzerland and trapped in England for a number of years before the war ended. And all historians and people who are much more familiar with the writings of Rav Kook than I am, they all note that you see something in Rav Kook's writings change. He always loved Eretz Yisrael, but when he was unable to be there, when he had a taste of the land, and then it was taken away from him, and he couldn't be there because of World War I, something changed. Eretz Yisrael became something more than just a place to be. It became something greater, something more spiritual on a level of, in a more Kabbalistic realm. It changed his whole perspective. And his writings are vastly different. That desire to be there when he could not be there at that time. So what is the source? What is the source in the hearts of the Jewish people that we desire the land so much? And we want to get to also explain how can we increase that desire at the end of the day. In the biography of Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, Isha Lachoma, which is a classic work that it was translated by Arsbon's English, it is a must read for everyone who wants to have an appreciation of what Yerushalayim was like in the turn of the 20th century, what was going on there. So Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, before he was Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, he was a teenager, and he had decided to go with his Rebbe to Eretz Yisrael as a young man. And the story describes how they were sitting on the boat, and the boat was getting closer and closer and closer to the port. And as the ship got closer, Rav Yosef Chaim was so anxious, he was so overwhelmed, he had to do something. You know, you're sitting and you're waiting for something, and you got up and walk around, you check your phone, and you're nervous. You can't sit there waiting for nothing to happen. So he got up, and as the ship was going slower and slower towards the port, he couldn't control himself. And he ran to the ship's mast. That's the big thing in the middle of the ship, the pillar of the ship in the middle. And he started climbing the mast of the ship. Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld is a young man. He starts climbing the mast of the ship until he gets up to what we call the crow's nest, that thing that we see from the pirates' pictures and the movies, right? That thing they sit on top of the mast. And he's looking out, and he sees for the first time that yellow strip connected to the blue waters. He sees something in the distance, and he starts screaming to the boat, to his Rebbe, 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 it's the Holy Land, it's the Eretz HaKadosha, I really see it, I see it. And he starts screaming and screaming and screaming, because he just had to be, he had to see it, he had to do something. This desire to be there when it's so close, but yet it seems far away at the end of the day. So I want to present a beautiful idea that I think about very often, and I think about when it comes, there are those times when one wants to be there, and one, for whatever reason, cannot. After the episodes of the Benos Salafchad, when the daughters of Salafchad, as we said before, were given their portion, so Moshe Rabbeinu was feeling bad, because he knew by that point he would not be allowed to go there, after all the events of the rock. And Hashem tells Moshe, okay, I have a plan for you. I want you to climb up to the top of the mountain that's overlooking Eretz Yisrael, and I want you to see the land they're going to give to the Jewish people. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Alei al Har Avrim Hazeh, I want you to go to this mountain, Ure'ei es ha'aretz asher nasatu b'nei Yisrael, and see the land they're going to give to b'nei Yisrael. Ve'iso osa, you'll look at it, v'nasafta al amecha gamata, kasher nasaf arnachecha, but you're going to die, and you're not going to go there. It is a very strange conversation in Pasuk. It seems almost cruel from Hashem's perspective. L'mashal, you want to take your kids out for ice cream, you want to take some kids somewhere nice, and they misbehave, they do the wrong thing, so they can't go out for ice cream. Okay, nobody's blaming you for that. You can't go out for the special treat. But on the way home, when you're out, you say, okay, guys, one second. So you go out of your way, and you drive by the front of the ice cream store, and you say, hey guys, see the ice cream over there? I just want to let you know we're not going there. Okay, so have a great day, and we're going to keep on going home. It seems a bit cruel. That's what Hashem did to Moshe. He said, oh, you wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael? Okay, so climb to the top of the mountain, look there. Oh, sorry, you're not going there. What's Hashem doing? It seems to be so cruel. So We have a tradition that each of the seven holy shepherds, the seven people we invite to the Ushpizin, and we're in the days of Sphira right now, we talk about the Sphiras, that we talk about Netzach and Hod and Gvura and Malchus and Chesed and Tiferes and all those different ideas, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, Moshe, Aaron, and David, all correspond to one of the seven Sphiras. We've heard this idea before, correct? Avraham is Chesed, Yitzchak is Gvura, and Yaakov is Tiferes, the balance of the two, all different ideas. Yosef is Sod. And who is Moshe? Moshe is the midah of Netzach. Netzach means eternity, everlasting ability. Nitzchias, to last forever. And Moshe, in a way, the Maharal explains, is like the Lamasha, Lahavdil Elif Abdalis, is like King Midas and gold, right? Whatever Midas touched, turned to gold. So Moshe, in his midah, whatever he touched, remained forever for the Jewish people. He was Netzach, and therefore Moshe gave the Torah, and therefore the Torah remains forever for the Jewish people. The Gemara in Sota, Yud Gimel Amud Beis, quotes an opinion that Moshe Rabbeinu never died. The Gemara earlier says that whenever Moshe came in contact, lasted forever. Rav Yosef Engel, who's the Rav of Krakow, explained that since Moshe represents the idea of Nitzchias, everything that he invested in was instilled with the ability to stand the test of time forever. And that's why the Torah was given through Moshe, so that the Torah would be given with the permanence that would last forever. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains that it was for this very reason that Moshe was never granted the ability to enter Eretz Yisrael, no matter how much he pleaded, because Hashem knew that Bnei Yisrael would eventually be kicked out. And that's also why Moshe was never able to build the Beis HaMikdash. Because if Moshe was able to build the Beis HaMikdash, it would have lasted forever. And then Hashem never would have taken out his anger on the Beis HaMikdash, and it would have come out on us, the Jewish people, instead. And therefore Moshe represents this idea of Nitzchias, Netzach, everlasting ability for all time. Rav Uziel Malevsky was a Rebbe in Ner Yisrael. He has a beautiful sefer called Ner Uziel. And there he brings this all together in a most fascinating way. He says that it was for sure that Bnei Yisrael were not going to land in Eretz Yisrael. It was known already from the beginning there was going to be a Gullus and a second Gullus, so the Gullus that were in this day, that Bnei Yisrael were not going to be in the land of Israel. And that was already set in stone. Hashem knew what it was going to be in the future. Hashem wanted to ensure that the Jewish people would always long to return to Tzion, no matter where they were in the world, no matter what was going on. And that inside every single Jew would be an indescribable longing and desire to be in Eretz Yisrael, and that this desire would rise up at those moments when it seemed that this small piece of land can never be ours. And Hashem wanted to make sure that that feeling would stay with us forever, and to implant these deep feelings in the hearts and the psyche of the Jewish people. So Hashem told Moshe, I want you to climb up that mountain, and step by step to the top of that mountain. And I want you to stand at the top of that mountain, and I want you to gaze longingly into that land, so that that nitzchias, that ability of everlasting connection, would be transferred into the hearts of the Jewish people. It's true, Moshe, that you're not going to be there. But what I want there to be forever is that desire to be there. And once Moshe experienced that emotion of longing to be there when he couldn't be there, so that immediately was implanted in the DNA of the Jewish people for all time. Once Moshe attached himself to that longing for the land, it attached to the Jewish people, whether it was escaping inquisitions or the students of the Vilna Gaon and the Baal Shem Tov, survivors who wrote on their visas they intended to go back to Israel or back to the concentration camps. Encoded on all of our souls is that unbreakable will to walk in the land of Israel. And this mark in our DNA was specifically designed by Hashem to be implanted of that longing, to stare that stare of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the command was not a punishment for Moshe, but rather it was to empower the Jewish people for all time. That indescribable feeling, why do we want to be there so much? It's because Moshe Rabbeinu did it first. And it went to all of us from that point on forever and ever. So whether you're sitting in America or you're standing in the departure gate at Ben-Gurion, we all have wondered, when are we going to be back there again? And that comes from Moshe to return to Eretz Yisrael as soon as possible. So, what's going on? Unfortunately, you have some people who don't desire to be there, who feel that they're okay in Gullus, and Gullus has been very good to us, and why push it? And in Israel, they don't have that, and in Israel, they don't have this, and the ice cream's like this, and this is the issue, and they have all these different complaints. So what's going on? So the Imre Chaim of Vizhnitz told the following story. It's told that Rav Nachum of Chernobyl was traveling, and one night he found a place to stay with a local Jewish arendor, the local Jewish farmer who was in charge of the town. And the simple Jew came from a long line of other very simple, ignorant Jews. Just like his father and his father's father before him, not too knowledgeable about Torah and Mitzvos or basics of Yiddishkeit. And at midnight, the wife of the Jew was woken by the sounds of terrible moaning and crying coming from her guest house. So she told her husband, get up, go downstairs, and figure out what's going on. What are the noise coming from that room? And make sure that our guest of Nachum is okay, because there's terrible sounds of pain and agony coming from the room. So, the simple Jew put on his robe, he went downstairs, walked to the other room, and as he got closer, he could hear with certainty that something was amiss in that room. There was moaning, and there was groaning, and there was crying, and there was pain. So when he opened the door a little bit to look inside, he saw that Rav Nachum of Chernobyl was sitting on the floor, crying and moaning in his room. So he interrupted Rav Nachum, and he said, excuse me, sir, I just want to make sure everything's okay. You seem to be a bit upset about something. So Rav Nachum looks at the man and said, oh, sorry, I apologize. Everything's actually perfectly fine. I'm just saying Tikkun Chatzos, the meaning of holy Jews for generations, to sit on the floor at midnight and to cry and to recite Tehillim over the Chorban of the Beis HaMikdash. And I'm doing fine, just I'm talking about this issue of the Beis HaMikdash and the bitter gullus. So when the simple Jew asked Rav Nachum, what's the Beis HaMikdash? What's the Chorban? And what are you talking about? So Rav Nachum realized that he was dealing with someone who was quite ignorant. So he gave him the time, a little bit of overview of Jewish history. He talks about Tanakh, and they came to Eretz Yisrael, and they built the Beis HaMikdash, and Chorban, and Gullus, and Mashiach, and all these things that we take for granted. So Rav Nachum then turned to the man and asked him, that certainly you were also waiting for the time for Mashiach to come and take us to Eretz Yisrael. No, don't you also want to go to Eretz Yisrael? So the man said he didn't know. He never really thought about it before. But, like most questions, let me go and ask my wife. Let me see what she says. So, he turns around. He says, I'll be right back. And he goes back up the stairs into his wife's room and says, excuse me, I have a question. The rabbi is doing fine. He's a little upset because there's Beis HaMikdash and there's Gullus. And he describes the whole scene again, the Mashiach, and the whole episode of what's going on. So he said, don't we also feel bad about the Chorban and the Beis HaMikdash and things like that? So she answered him that we're older, we're on in years, and they had some land and some animals, and we're quite comfortable, and therefore we have no intention of picking up and going to Eretz Yisrael. We're fine over here, and we're quite happy and content with what we're doing. So the Jew turned around and said, I have an answer. So turned around, went back down the stairs, went back to the room. Rav Nachum was waiting for an answer, and the Jew explained to Rav Nachum that his response, that everything is okay, we have our animals, we have two cars, a garage, we're fine, let's not rock the boat. So Rav Nachum looked at the guy and said, I understand that you have lives outside of Eretz Yisrael, but there's so much oppression from the guy, and there's anti-Semitism, you have so many problems, there's pogroms, you're always getting cheated, someone's always out to get you. This is okay for you? Why are you okay with such a situation? All these terrible things. If Mashiach comes, then all the pain and suffering will go away. Don't you want that? That all the pain and suffering should stop? You should be comfortable, there should be no more tzaras for Klal Yisrael, no more sickness, no more illnesses, things like this. So the man thought, oh, Rav Nachum has a good point. So he turned around, walked out of the room, walked back up the stairs into his wife's room, and he said, well, what about the anti-Semitism? What about the pogroms? What about all the terrible things? What are we supposed to do? So his wife gave him an answer, and he turned around, and he came back to Rav Nachum. So Rav Nachum said, and he told him the whole issue here, that if we have all our needs here, and everything is fine, so we don't want to go back there. Rather, to take care of ourselves, what should we do? Hashem should bring Mashiach, take all the Goyim, and take the Goyim to Eretz Yisrael, and we'll stay in Galus, so we'll be fine, and that's how we'll solve it. The Goyim, Hashem will take, Mashiach will take the Goyim to Eretz Yisrael, the Goyim will be out of the way, and we'll enjoy Galus over here in Poland and Russia, and everything will be fine. So that was his answer. So Rav Nachum shook his head, and he put his hand on his head, and he said, now I understand the pshat of the pasuk. It says that Hashem told Bnei Yisrael, Votseisi Eschem Mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim, that I'm going to take you out of the bondage of Mitzrayim. And the word sovel means subjugation, to be subjected, but can also mean to be sovel, to deal with it. That a person has savlanut, that a person has patience to deal with what's going on, to bear the situation. Hashem wanted to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, so they were not sovel. They weren't okay with it anymore. There's no worse gullus than a gullus in which you don't understand that you are in gullus. That is the worst galus. There are too many people. There are too many Jews who are sovel. They have sublanus for galus. We, Baruch Hashem, live in the best galus in 2,000 years. And it's very comfortable and it's very nice. And we're sovel. It's not so bad. Could be worse. We're okay with the galus here. And therefore, that's what Rav Nachum said. This is the perfect example. Hashem should take the Gaim to Eretz Yisrael and leave us here. That's okay. It's totally unacceptable, he says. And we should never think for a moment that the galus that we are in is where we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to be in America. This is the opposite of the way things are supposed to be. We are supposed to be in Israel. Being in Israel is not the weird thing or the different thing. We're so backwards that we think that going to Israel is the thing that's out of the norm. Being in Israel is the norm. We're backwards for not being in Israel. The Maharal says that galus is when everything is upside down. And we're upside down. Galus is supposed to be where everything is the wrong way, and gula is when things are the right way. The right way is to be in Eretz Yisrael. The same idea is brought in the Beis Medrash, or Simcha ben Peshischa, and the Siach Sarfei Kodesh. They quote the same thing in the name of the Katzke Rav by the Chedush Harim. The Sfas Emes says the same idea from the Chedush Harim. But the message is clear. This is not where we're supposed to be. And if you're comfortable being outside of Eretz Yisrael, then it means you're Tachas Sivlos Mitzrayim. That's clear and simple. If you're comfortable being here, and you don't think every single day that I want to be over there, then you're Tachas Sivlos Mitzrayim, and you're comfortable in the situation. In 1977, Rav Mordechai Gifter was given an amazing opportunity. There was a very wealthy donor, you know him by as Mr. Irving Stone, the Stone Chumashim, and other things like that. So Mr. Stone was a great supporter of the Tel Yeshiva. And he wanted to start a new place in Eretz Yisrael, a new Kirya, a new Makom Torah. So he said, let's take Tells, let's take the Rebbeim of Tells, and my money together, and we'll start a new place, and we'll combine the two names, and we'll call it Tells Stone. Tells and Stone. And they started in a community in 1977. And who did they pick to become the Rav and the Rosh Hashiva of Tells Stone? Rav Mordechai Gifter. Rav Gifter had never been to Eretz Yisrael before. He had really no connection, but he was incredibly dynamic. The Bacharim in the Yeshiva loved him, and he was one of the Rosh Yeshiva. And they figured, let's bring him there, and we'll start something serious, something amazing over there. And originally, Rav Gifter was not so excited, but he went on one trip, and he fell in love. He turned into a different person. He said, we have to go there. And he picked up everything. And in 1977, him and his family picked up with, I think, 14 Bacharim, 4 guys in Kollel, to start Telstone in Eretz Yisrael. And during that period, the Talmidim described Rav Gifter was on a different level. He was a different person. His ruchnius was on a different level. His emotions were on a different level. Everything was cranked up to 11. He would go on Tiulim for 20 minutes every day and look at flowers and talk about the beautiful rakefet flower, and he would talk about all the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. His production in Torah was on another level. He used to give only shir klali once a week, and tell us he was giving full shirim every single day. Such prodigious amount of peirush on the Minchas Chinuch. He was producing Torah on a level that he never thought he could accomplish. He was a different mensch in Eretz Yisrael, something totally on a different plane. And he was on a different level. And he enjoyed every single moment. He would, the Talmidim say, it was incredible those 2 years. But in 1979, Rav Baruch Saratzkin, his Rosh Yeshiva in Tells, passed away. And this is not the part recorded in the biography, but there was a machlokus in the yeshiva about who's going to take over and what's going to be the future. And the yeshiva was about to be torn apart. And the answer was, the only person who could keep the yeshiva together was Rav Mordechai Gifter. And the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael, the Stifler and other Rabbanim said, you got to go back. Tells is an important institution, you can't let it collapse. You have to leave Eretz Yisrael, you have to go back. And Rav Gifter was so, so sad. He had no choice. He didn't want his yeshiva to collapse, but he had to go back. He had no choice. So he got on a plane, and he came back to America, and that was the last time he lived in Eretz Yisrael. He would go back for other events, but that was the last time he lived there. There's a story, an account, in the Rav Gifter biography, Ars biography, it is worth the entire price of the Sefer just for the story. Because this story is something I think about very often. So Rav Gifter wanted to stay, but him and his Rebbetzin decided to return to America. And when the Gifters returned from Eretz Yisrael to Cleveland, they decided together to not live in the house that was provided on campus, but to live in the yeshiva dorm in Tells, instead of a house they had left 2 years earlier. And Rav Gifter said as follows, I cannot live in a permanent home anymore in Chutz La'aretz. I can't. I can't feel that I'm Sovel Galus. I can't feel this is where I'm supposed to be. I'm going to live in the dorm. And they made the dorm nice. It was not a regular yeshiva bachur. They made the dorm nice and they dressed it up 100%. But he didn't want to feel for a moment that this was his home. My home is in Tel Aviv, Eretz Yisrael. And as long as I have to be here, I'm not going to feel for a moment that I'm Tachas Siblos Mitzrayim. That I'm so Velva Gullus, I'm okay with it at the end of the day. And him and his Rebbetzin together, Biyacha, they lived in the dorm to the end of their life because they needed to feel that this is where they're supposed to be until Mashiach would come and they would return to Eretz Yisrael. And that is the feeling we should have. I know I'm speaking to the choir over here, but this is the feeling we should have, and this is the feeling people should have, to not feel for a moment that this is okay. I have students, and obviously not the chash of students here, but I have students who, when Yom HaAtzmaut comes around every year, and we talk about the Miss of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and they say, I don't know, I'm very happy over here, I don't want to go. So some of that comes with maturity. They haven't had a chance to be in Eretz Yisrael for an extended amount of time, and see the land, and to really, their extent at most is, you know, a trip or two, one or 2 weeks a year, maybe a month on an Israel program, but maturity is a factor as well. But I don't understand how they are growing up in homes where the parents are giving them the perspective that this is where it's supposed to be. I don't understand the chinuch. I don't understand how a teenager who claims to be modern Orthodox and marches in the day parade and puts blue and white face paint on their face on Yom HaAtzmaut and drapes themselves in Israeli flag and does all the things they're supposed to do, and they claim to be holding up the banner and the torch of modern Orthodoxy and religious Zionism, says, oh, this is good, wooden mirror's fine, we're good here, everything's comfortable, I have no desire to be there. Again, we can't, for whatever reasons we have, the reasons we can't be there, but at least you should feel bad about it. At least you should feel bad about it. You shouldn't be so Valtacha Sivlos Mitzrayim. So what are the Eitzes? What are we supposed to do at the end of the day to help us out to get further and to make sure we're stronger? Yonasan Ivishitz, the Rebbe of Yonasan, writes in the Arav Svash and Chelek Alf and Drush Yud Dalid, what a great mitzvah it is to desire to go to Eretz Yisrael. It's a mitzvah to desire to go to Eretz Yisrael, he says. There's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. But on top of it, there's a mitzvah to want to be in Eretz Yisrael. The Shla and the Sefer Yoreim teach that a person should constantly have in his heart's desire and love for Eretz Yisrael. The Pasuk in Malachim Aleph says, Vayu einai v'libi sham kol hayamim. My eyes and my hearts will be there all of my days. If a man has all that he desires, says Rav Yonasan, he should always remember that he is lacking something because he is not in Eretz Yisrael. He should be sad about that, for the most important thing in his life is missing, because he's not an Eretz Yisrael, says Rav Yonasan Ivishitz. Again, we talked about a lot about our Zionism. We talk about Yom HaAtzmaut. Do you say a bracha? Do you not say a bracha? So I like to point out to my students that in my mind, who's the greater Zionist? The person who marches in the parade and puts an Israeli flag out in Yom HaAtzmaut, but has no desires or plans or feelings they should be in Eretz Yisrael, or the person who doesn't say Hallel Yom HaAtzmaut, and perhaps, you know, doesn't say nice things about the Israeli government, but pick their family up and is living in Eretz Yisrael. Who's the greater Zionist at the end of the day? Who is? And the person who wants to be there. The person who wants to be there is the greater Zionist. I don't care about the bracha Yom HaAtzmaut and things like that. Those things aren't important. The only single thing is, how much do you want to be there? And we have reasons and whatever they may be, but do you want to be there? That is the greatest sign of one's religious Zionism as well. How can we sit in America and say that we're fine? Every moment we should think about not being there, and we should be pained, and we should think about the opportunity of when we can be there. The first thing is to daven. That's the first thing. There's a beautiful tefillah in the Likutei Maharan. Rav Nachman of Breslov writes in the Likutei Maharan in Os Kuf Nun Hei, "V'tzarech kol adam levakesh mehashem yisparach shiyelo kisufin vegagugin l'Eretz Yisrael." You should ask Hashem that I should want to desire in Eretz Yisrael. If you're not desiring to be there, so daven to want to be there. That's the first step, says Rav Nachman. V'gam shiyah gaguim l'kol ha-tzadikim ha-Yisrael. You should also daven that the tzadikim should also want to live there. Because when the tzadikim want to go, so the people will follow and the people will go with them as well. And what are you davening for in the bracha of Mekabed Zidcha Yisrael if you're not davening for this? Sometimes I ask my students, what are you davening for? If you don't want to be there, and you don't have a desire to be in Israel, so you should only have 18 brachas in Shemona Esrei, not 19. What are you davening for then? Besides the fact they may not understand what they're saying in Shemona Esrei. But if you do understand what they're saying in Shemona Esrei, what is the kavanah you're saying in that bracha? It's not about Mashiach, because that's Es Samach David. That's a different bracha. You should be davening to be in Eretz Yisrael, and the desire to be there, says Rav Nachman of Breslov. That's eitzah number one, to daven, to want to be there. The second thing is to learn the halachos in the Torah of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Kook has many, many writings, but he has tshuvos on Choshen Mishpat called Mishpat Kohen. His introduction is an amazing, amazing hakdama. And there he quotes the Gemara Shoshana about Sion hi v'doresh ein la, that known as being Doresh Sion. So Rav Kook explains, what does it mean to be Doresh Sion? And he explains that the pasuk in Yirmiyahu that this is built on talks about two diseases. In Aruka, two cures. In Aruka and a Rafua. An aruka is a type of refua that is chitzoni, and a refua is a refua that is pnimi. You can have an illness that is on the outside of the body, you can have an illness that is internal in the body. And each one has a different medicine to respond to that illness. If a person has a wound on top of the body, you put a bandage. If you have a headache, you don't put a bandage on your head, you take an Advil. You take an internal medicine to cure an internal problem, and you take an external medicine to cure an external problem. So, says Rav Kook, the Jewish people had two machlas, two issues. One is that they didn't have the Beis HaMikdash. There was going to be a Chorban, and there are outward issues. And that's an outward illness that has to be taken care of. But there was a pnimi, there was an inner issue as well. And that was the issue of being connected to the land and a desire for Hashem and pnimius and ruchnius. And that needs an inner issue to take care of it. And that would match up. But says Rav Kook, sometimes there's an outward illness that comes from an inner problem. A person has a rash on the body, but it's not because there's eczema or something outside, but because there's something wrong internally that is manifesting something on the outward part of the body. The outward illness comes from something that is internally off in the person. So says Rav Kook, that was the problem. The Chorban Beis HaMikdash not being in Eretz Yisrael was the external issue. But the internal issue was the lack of Torah and the connectivity to Torah's Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, the response, says Rav Kook, to a person who externally does not want to be in Eretz Yisrael and externally has no connection to the land, is to internally give you that medicine. To internally learn about the Torah of Eretz Yisrael, to learn about the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael, and connect to those things, and to become more enthralled to the land of Israel. If we would get involved, says Rav Kook, in the Torah of Eretz Yisrael, then this will lead us to Eretz Yisrael itself. And if we would learn about the sections of mitzvahs that are connected to Eretz Yisrael, then this will cause a Kaddish Baruch to bring us to Eretz Yisrael. And if we don't pay attention to the Torah of Eretz Yisrael, then a Kaddish Baruch won't bring us there. So eitzah number two, says Rav Kook, is to learn about Eretz Yisrael. To learn about the mitzvahs of Tzlus Ba'aretz, to learn about the Torah that connects to Yisrael, the Torah of Rav Kook and other Gedolim who live there. And that is advice number two, to increase one's being Doresh Tzion, to desire the land. The third is an example we take from the Bali Musar. Rav Yisrael Salanter would often write to his students in his letters in Or Yisrael about how does one overcome issues of the Yetzer Hara. I have an issue with kas, an issue with anger. I have an issue with tzedakah, I'm too stingy, whatever it is. How do you overcome that? How do you work on tikkun hamidos? So one of the pieces of advice that Rav Yisrael Salanter would write about is to play a game of psychology with yourself. To close your eyes and imagine, how would you act in that situation? You're about to go into a family event, and perhaps you have issues with a family member. Stuff happens like this. You have issues with a family member. So usually when you walk into these family scenarios, the person gets the best of you. You turn into a wet rag, and you shut down, and nothing good comes of it. So says Rav Yisrael Salanter, I have an idea for you. Before you walk in, imagine in your mind, play out the movie of that scenario. You're going to say hello to the person, you're going to interact positively, everything's going to be great, and you play it in your mind with your imagination. So therefore, when the time comes, you will have already played that scenario. You have a vision in your mind of how to act appropriately in that situation. This is the example of Rav Yisrael Salanter. I think we can apply the same thing to Eretz Yisrael. When we plan about what's going to be in the future, plan about that future in Eretz Yisrael. Even if it's not in the cards right now, and it's not going to happen. Plan about what that future looks like. What is that house going to look like? We always like to play this game. If I won Mega Millions, I would do A, B, C, and D. We've all done this before, and if you think that you haven't, you're lying, because you have. Every single person has played out in their head what they're going to do down to the dollar when they win that Mega Millions, right? So, in that plan, when you play out that scenario, play it out with Eretz Yisrael. And even if It doesn't look like it's in the future. And it doesn't look like maybe something you're so interested in. But play it out in your head. Pretend that it's happening in Eretz Yisrael. Because the more you play out that scenario, the more that desire will increase, and the more it will perhaps become a reality in the future. As the Tiferet Shlomo says, the more you desire it, the more it will come to be. Personally, I love watching Nefesh B'Nefesh videos whenever there's a landing. Whenever there's a landing, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning and in America, so I love watching them. You sit there and, I don't know, I cry when I watch them, but you sit there and you imagine what it's like and the simcha, other people doing it, and that plays out in your heart as well, and you use your imagination to build it up, what's going to be, what could it be, and therefore over time, that will increase it. So, just to summarize, to bring it all together, we see that there's a teshuka, a desire to be in Eretz Yisrael, and that's the way things should be. It is implanted from Moshe Rabbeinu, his koach of nitzchias, bringing it all together in our neshamas going forward. And the idea of not being sovel galus, not being okay, not having savlanus for galus, to understand that we're supposed to be in Eretz Yisrael, not to say that there's not galus in Eretz Yisrael as well. It is still a sense of galus as well. But certainly where we're supposed to be, that is clear according to everybody. And it's not to be sovel tachas sivlos mitzrayim, it's not to be okay with it. And then to work on ourselves and to make sure we are implanting that desire in ourselves and our families, that this is where we're supposed to be, and to talk about it and to plan for it, and to hope in the right time when the Pesach opens up and the door opens up, we'll be ready to step inside and to go there. And this is the lesson in when to desire something that you cannot have, there's a way to do it. Instead of just saying, hanging up your hat and saying, okay, it's not meant to be, I'll put it away, but still to have the desire, that longing to be there, and that longing is something. As the Rebbe of Yonason says, the desire to be in Eretz Yisrael is still a mitzvah, and the desire to be there and to connect to the land and to the people of the land is something that is certainly important. We should all be zocha as soon as possible to fulfill our desires to be in Eretz Yisrael and to be there and to partake of Trumas and Maestrats and the Mitzvot of Tzuas Baretz, and to engage in its Kedusha, and to learn the Torah of Eretz Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. Okay.